The Winnipeg Blue Bombers will be playing their sixth game of the regular season. That's the worst transition I've ever made in the history of radio. The Bombers in town on Thursday to take on the Eskimos. Bombers are struggling, but so is the Eskimos defense. Joining us to discuss this, our good friend from the Winnipeg Sun, Mr. Kirk Penton. Kirk, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, sir. It was a fine transition.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. How would you describe the first five games for the Bombers so far, Kirk?
Usual.
Yes. Yeah, so I take it Bombers fans are kind of used to this after a while?
Unfortunately for those poor souls who root for the blue and gold, yeah, it's just another year looking like it's going to be ugly. I mean, 1-4, big things were expected of this team. They went out and signed five players worth $1 million in free agency, first day of free agency, and everybody said they won free agency. Drew Willey back and healthy after suffering a knee injury last year, and what do they get? They get the same old bad football that they've been seeing for so long, and now Drew Willey is demoted. So when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, how do Bombers fans really haven't had a whole lot to cheer about since really 1990, perfectly honest, and then their neighbors just to the west of them, the Riders, they've had success. So where do Bombers fans come out? Because really, it's been a whole... I know they appeared in the Grey Cup in 2011 and 2007, but yeah. Besides those, they really haven't had a whole lot to cheer for.
No, they really haven't. I mean, they've now gone 4 years without a playoff berth, which is the longest in their history, which dates all the way back to 1930. It's actually tied for a dry spell. And unless they get it turned around quick, I mean, they're not going to be in the playoffs for a fifth straight year, which is pretty much impossible in the CFL. That's just how bad it's been here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got to the Grey Cup in 11. They weren't going to win that one. They got to the Grey Cup in 07, which they should have won if Kevin Glenn hadn't broken his arm in the East Final. And 2001 was a great year. They should have beat Calgary in the Grey Cup, and they lost as well. And then you got to go back another 23 years to find their next Grey Cup appearance, which they also lost. So, for basically almost now a quarter of a century, it's just been way more losses than wins, and yet they're still drawing 24,000 people to the stadium, which is pretty good when you look at other teams across the league. I don't know why these people keep showing up. They must be gluttons for punishment.
How safe is Mike O'Shea, the head coach, and GM Kyle Walters?
Well, that's a very good question. I've been trying to speak to their boss for the last few days, and he's gone into hiding, which is usual for this regime. They don't really let too much get out, but you know, Mike O'Shea can't be much longer if they keep losing. I mean, I spoke of those 24,000 fans who show up every game, no matter what. I think that number could start dipping here soon unless they get it turned around. Obviously O'Shea's done a very, he's kind of gone out on a limb, made a bit of a desperate move here going with Matt Nichols over Drew Willey this week. But, you know, if they lose a few more games in a row, they have three more games until the bye. And I would say if they lose the next three, I just don't see how Mike O'Shea can still be here when they get back.
Has anyone spotted Paul Lapolice maybe measuring up for Mike O'Shea's office so far? Has that happened yet?
No, we have not seen that. It may have happened late at night after everybody else had gone home, but... you know, people I talk to around the CFL aren't so sure that Paul Lapolice is the answer if O'Shea goes, because, you know, he had a pretty rough head coaching stint here before, and maybe it's Richie Hall's turn. I know you guys in Edmonton are very familiar with that, and that one didn't go so well either, but, you know, Richie Hall's defense is playing much better than Paul Lapolice's offense here in Winnipeg. I mean, the defense is basically getting its job done. It's the offense that is causing this team to be 1-4. So who they go with if Mike O'Shea goes, I don't know. My gut tells me that this regime is going to do everything it possibly can to keep Mike O'Shea, Kyle Walters, till the end of the year. I just think those three, Wade Miller, the president and CEO, Kyle Walters and Mike O'Shea, they've always kind of been this trio that did everything together. They basically do personnel together. They're always talking. They seem like a trio that is going to stick it out until they possibly can't. So, you know, a couple wins here and there, and I think that O'Shea might be safe until the end of the year, but he is playing out the final year of his contract, so he's got to get into the playoffs.
We're joined by Kirk Penton from the Winnipeg Sun. The 1-4 Bombers are in Edmonton to take on the Eskimos on Thursday. You mentioned the offense has been struggling, Kirk. Is there one thing in particular that's been struggling on offense, or is it simply everything hasn't worked so far besides the one victory the Bombers got?
Yeah, it's pretty much everything. I mean, that their only win was thanks to six turnovers, five of them off of Jeremiah Mazzoli. So the offense really hasn't done anything to win a game yet this year. Drew Willey is being benched for a reason. He looks like a shell of his former self. He can't complete the deep ball. His pocket has been reasonably clean, but it's been pretty cramped. He's not getting the time that other quarterbacks usually get. And the other big problem is there's absolutely no run game to speak of in Winnipeg. Andrew Harris was signed to a $175,000 contract in the offseason. It was the hometown boy coming back from BC. It was going to be a big reunion that was going to get the team back into the playoffs, and Harris now has the worst average per carry in the CFL. He's up among the leaders, but that's only because he's carrying the ball so much. So the passing game's not working, the run game is not working, and the offensive line isn't playing that well. Other than that, everything is just hunky-dory with the Bombers offense.
The Bombers roll into Edmonton on Thursday, and they catch the Eskimos playing on a short week. Kirk, are the Bombers healthy heading into tonight's or on Thursday's game?
Not at all, actually. Funny you should ask. They lost three starting defensive backs in the game against Calgary and a starting member of the offensive line. So the Bombers will be starting a new guy at left guard. They'll be starting a new guy at safety, at cornerback, and they are getting one of their regulars back in Bruce Johnson. He's a defensive halfback, so he will replace the third starter the Bombers lost in the secondary. But they're pretty banged up, so you know, the rest is obviously a good thing for the Bombers, but they should have an advantage, I think, taking on an Eskimos team that has had so little time to prepare.
The Eskimos defense has given up 134 points so far through 4 weeks, Kirk. I don't know how much you've seen of them, but are you surprised that the Eskimos have really no problem scoring? It's they're having problem keeping team out of their end zone.
Yeah, well, don't forget I watched the Eskimos give up only 16 points to the Bombers 2 weeks ago.
True.
So they look great to me.
No. Yes.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's, I mean, that group obviously took massive hits in the offseason, and they're just not as good as they were last year. I mean, Mike Benavides, I think, is a very capable defensive coordinator, but I just don't know if the talent is there. The defensive front was all over the Bombers 2 weeks ago. They've got pressure on Drew Willey, no problem. So, I mean, I've seen what they can do, but every other time they've played someone else, they just haven't been able to do it. So, I mean, it's a simple case of not having as much talent as they did last year and not having Chris Jones. So they better get it figured out fast, or, you know, they could find themselves in trouble, because you got to have a decent defense to go far in the playoffs or even get to the playoffs in this league.
The Eskimos are home to the Bombers on Thursday. Kirk Penton from the Winnipeg Sun joins. Just a couple more quick ones kind of going around the CFL, Kirk. Monday Night Football tonight in Toronto between the Argos and Alouettes. Over or under 10,000 people at BMO Field tonight?
Let's hope it's over for the league's sake. I mean, this, you know, we like to joke about Toronto's lack of football fans, but I don't know if people out here in the West realize how important they are to this league. I mean, national advertising goes through Toronto, all that stuff. The league needs Toronto. That's all there is to it. The TV ratings, if there's no Argos, I mean, there's no $40 million a year coming in to, you know, each year divided up among the nine teams in the league. So let's hope it's more than 12,000. I saw a tweet earlier today, that said they were expecting a pretty good crowd tonight. So there's apparently a Pokemon promotion tonight, and I heard it was a hit up there
over
the weekend. So maybe that's all they need is a little Pokemon.
The 2016 CFL season presented by Pokemon.
Exactly.
Kirk, get you out here on this one. So far through week five, the BC Lions sit atop the West. They're 3-1. The Red Blacks are 3-1-1 atop the East. Who's been the best team in the CFL? For my money, it's been the Red Blacks. Thinking about, really, they lost the mastermind of their offense in Jason Moss. I didn't expect them to have four receivers catch over 1,000 yards, but Wally Buono just proves he's the wily old vet. So to me, is it the Red Blacks or the Lions? For you, it's been the best team.
Yeah, I'd go with the Red Blacks too. I just, there's something about the Lions I don't trust yet. I don't know if that's because I thought they weren't going to be very good this year, and I'm still trying to think, you know, not willing to admit I'm not. But, you know, they've had a couple of games where they, you know, weren't looking that great and still won. But No, the Red Blacks, to me, with that receiving core, that's just insane. The way Brock Jensen replaced Trevor Harris last week and still almost guided them to a victory in a tough spot. I know it was only against the Riders, who hadn't won, but it's always tough to win at Mosaic Stadium. So if I had to pick a team to go with right now, I'm taking the Red Blacks just based on what they're doing. And they're a good defensive team, too. I know it didn't quite show it last week, but they have some very good parts there as well. They're the most well-rounded team and the team that I would trust if I had to go with one right now.
Kirk, I appreciate your time. I'll see you probably Thursday down at the Brickfield at Commonwealth Stadium. Make sure you have your phone fully charged as we're going to play some Pokemon, okay?
Sounds good. I gotta find some.
Perfect. Thanks, Kirk. We'll appreciate it.
You bet.
Kirk Penton from the Winnipeg Sun.